let me drop the mic. We have some music coming in here. See, I don't get why this thing is just the router just drops out like that. I mean, I could switch the routers now, but then everybody's going to fall out for at least. I think sometimes it takes upwards of 4 minutes for that router to boot, and that is not good. So we'll just muddle through if we can do it. It seems to do it every hour, so we might get through this next hour, if you will, because we just all fell out. All right, so let me drop the mic here. Well, I got to stop the echo for the stream. There. Thank you. All right, and since we usually get a few more people to join us for the sermon hour, it seems, sometimes, let's pray again. If you can kneel, please do so. Because we want everyone to be blessed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us the changing of the showbread and a better understanding of the Word. And thank you for blessing us with a way that we can share what you have given us to share all around the world on the internet or cell phone or radio or wherever. And so thank you so much for keeping it stable. And at the same time, Father, please bless us with a more stable chat room in the coming days. And thank you also for bridling my tongue and any tongue that speaks so you alone are glorified. And let these truths that we have in the Word water the seeds that are already in us, or even plant the seeds that some of us need. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. The next Sabbath is Testimony Sabbath, so hopefully y'all got some stuff written down. I know I do. I just got to go dig it up because I keep a praise list, my own private little praise list. Okay. I got some strange emails and comments from YouTube to share this week. I think I'm only going to do like 4, maybe 3. We've actually hit the big 4-0, so we're at 400. questions and answers. And I know I haven't updated the Q&A of Sabbath's Past page, I think, since May. So I got some work to do this week if I can get around to doing that, because that's the hardest page to update, because I got to link out every single solitary question. And so that takes some time. And so that's why I always put it on the back burner. So procrastinate. Naughty, naughty. So anyway, number 397, the question was, why does the USA have two horns like a lamb? And then the email was, hey, Pastor Nicholas, the two horns of the lamb in Revelation 13:11 has horns, are ruling entities. Let me fix this because he puts as. Okay, has horns and are ruling entities in the context of America. What did the two horns represent? I was thinking House of Representatives and the Senate, because that's where you guys make your, that's where you guys, well, those guys are. Make your laws is what he should have said. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's not from America. So that's where you guys, okay. Any help would be nice, and he says thanks. So anyway, some believe that because the state is a ruling power, some see the USA as a split state because of its Democratic and Republican form of Congress, if you will. But when we look at the prophecy of Revelation 13, verses 11 and 12, that says this, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. They seem to get a little bit confused here. I mean, if you study, you understand that the first beast, of course, is the Vatican. And the chronology of this prophecy depicts a time when the lamb horn beast is speaking as a dragon. The prophecy doesn't literally identify the horns in its latter state, however. We know what the horns mean in prophecy, but we just don't understand, you know, we haven't given, I don't see any latter state definition. However, as we know, Satan would want the USA to continue to claim to be a Christian nation till the end, because as we know, the mark of the beast is a religious law, and Satan needs to use his version of Christianity, or Catholicism as we know it, to enforce his mark. And so perhaps that might be why there is not a changing of, like, it doesn't go from horns to warts or something, just to throw it out there. But anyway, we know the USA started as a Christian nation. And so again, like the Republicanism and Protestantism format, we in the last days will also see a split personality of a so-called Christian nation, because the prophecy does declare it still has the original horns of the lamb. But now in our day, it speaks as a dragon. And let me see if I can get these in the room here, because I tested this earlier and I was able to get them in here. But let me put it in here. So if you're on the stream, well, on the stream, I can just put the link in. Here we go. I'll put this in the stream. Take a look at that picture. And I want to put it in the room here. You'll be able to see it here in a second. Let me just put it in the room. Okay, that's an aerial shot of Washington, D.C. And the point of the pentagram reaches the back door of the White House. But I got another one that's a little bit more in detail, where I highlight certain things. This is on my National Pride page, if you want to call it that. Because that's what I do, National Pride with a question mark. Okay, that's that one there. And so let me put it in the stream for you there. Paste. Matter of fact, I should have just put it in the, on the screen. Ooh, let me see, that's another thing. It doesn't even change. Let me change. Here, as maybe it'll show up, because over here, like in the dashboard of the stream, it will not let me text. It doesn't show any text at all. So okay, good. Now it's working with the Q&A thing. All right, and so there is the White House at the tip, right? And then if you look down the road, the Masonic Square comes from the tip and it goes up and down, and then you get another Masonic Square that actually forms the stick figure body of Satan. If you ever messed with the occult before you were Christian and you knew people that were Satanists, you know that the original book of magic, which is pronounced magic, from what they were saying, they have the first etching ever of Satan as he appeared onto his believers thousands of years ago, I guess, and somebody drew a stick figure body with a bunny head. I kid you not, it was with a bunny head. I saw the drawing myself, right? So let me put the bunny head that they actually got it from. Because notice the Masonic Square goes to the, it starts at the White House and goes all the way to the U.S. Capitol. All right? Let me put this in the room and then I'll put it in the stream here. There's your bunny head. Everybody goes, what's that? It looks like a bunny's head. Oh, it won't. I got to go back over here to make it. Okay. Okay, here's the bunny head. All right. Now, you got to click the links, Sister Amber. Yeah, there's nothing showing up in the stream because I don't... Yeah, let me try it because I've never done this. Let's see, add source. Text, web page, media file, scene 1, 2, 3, no, streams, no, media file, videos, images. Let me see if I could put a URL in it instead of having to go. Let's see. It's doing, there it goes. It showed up in the room. Okay, there's your bunny head. It showed up in the stream. Let me zoom it in for you there, okay? All right, now... Is it, okay, it's showing up. All right, so there's your bunny head, and but it's sideways, okay? I'm sorry, that's the only way I had to pick, and it's garbagey, it's pixelated. But the ears in the back, those are cul-de-sacs in the back of the Capitol building of the United States of America. And then down here, I don't know if you can see my mouse. No, you can't. All right, so but underneath the building, well, right in the middle of the building, you have the rotunda, the big bulging top of the roof. That is the nose of the bunny. Looks like two designs on the parking lot. Makes it look like the bunny's wearing sunglasses right there. And I was, okay, this is all sideways. And then the bunny that I saw in the book had chubby cheeks. And so you got the cul-de-sac on the right and the cul-de-sac on the left, and you have the Masonic Square coming up to the point, which is causing three billowing chubby cheeks underneath. And so there's your bunny. And then let me just put the other picture in of Washington, D.C., that puts this in detail in the chat room here. So let me hit remove for that one, and I'll put add source, stream, scene, media file. There we go. That's where it is. I guess I ain't got to go surfing on my hard drive. I'll just hit the URL. Give it a minute. It's going to take a while to load in. Oh, it went to the other side, so let me zoom it in for you there. Okay, so now that's the red pentagram on the top are all the streets of Washington, D.C. that point to the back of the White House, and then the Masonic Square goes from the White House to the Capitol building and then down again. And if you drove, like if you do this on Google Earth and you drive this area, every point of the pentagram has a special, like, square or something, some fancy schmancy thing going on in, like, some kind of dedication onto the, the fallen god, you know, the Satan. But it's done so subtly that no one really catches it, right? This is our nation. These are our leaders, okay? And so it's clearly a union. You know, the lamb horn beast is clearly run by devil worshippers. And so, but now if you look a little farther into the prophecy, and if you go down to Revelation 13:14, that says the USA deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had this wound by his sword and did live. You know, and that's my favorite prophecy of Revelation. You know, the beast that was is not yet is. The beast that was from 538 AD to 1798 AD when it was killing all those Christians. The beast that is not was from 1798 till 1929 when Napoleon kicked the Pope out of power. You know, that's the mortal wound. And then the wound started getting healed in 1929 when Mussolini Gaspari got in the Lateran Palace and signed that pact. And that's till today. So you got the beast that was, is not, yet is. Okay, so that's now. We are in the yet is. It's the final stage of the beast. But the beast is a church and state. Because during the beast that is not, it was only a church. It did not have the the state. It only had the church. Napoleon took away its political power is what he did, as prophesied. And so, hold on a second here. My monitor for the stream. Great. Let's see. I got to switch keyboards here. Okay, should go in there now. I tell you, this is getting a little bit tiring. I got a little few issues going on here with these, with the chat room. But anyway, if you notice, the prophecy says that that beast with the lamb horns will make an image to the city. We all know that the Vatican is a church and state power. And because it's called Vatican City as a nation and the Roman Catholic congregation as a church. And so that being the case, the USA must emulate that same exact format while still carrying those lamb horn, horns, right? And so a historic record confirms the church as well as the state can rule people, and that's absolute power, which means it's going to absolutely corrupt them the way they rule. And so even though the actual bloodthirsty movement of its hand has not yet been realized, via the enforcement of the mark. I mean, sure, yeah, the USA kills behind closed doors as well as with their wars as a global conquest for Mother Rome, as well as a financial gain for D.C. because, it's always about the money. That's how Satan always likes to. I mean, look at the preachers. They bow to the money. That's why they got the 501c3. But the basic reality here is that the structure is to that prophesied act is already here. And what I mean is, today the USA has not only formed an image to the beast on paper as of 1954 when Lyndon Johnson penned the 501c3 contract in the first place, which states you must join your church with the state to get a tax write-off as well as cash benefits for doing so, generating a massive army of false preachers. The many false prophets who are actually, they're just preachers of filthy lucre. They're in it for the money. I mean, if you see some of the seminaries, they teach the preachers how to make money, how to make a business. They don't teach them anymore how to bring the souls in. This includes the SDA ministries seminary. Because we got eyewitnesses, okay? But anyway, and they are confirmed as such, church and state, by how the 501c3 was written, because it clearly states the only way to get the cash is to become a church and state. You got to incorporate, they call it. And then as of December 2nd, 2017, Trump signed that bill that was previously just an executive order by President Bush in 2006. That's when it started getting a little bit of it's birthing. I mean, it was birthed in 1954, obvious, by Lyndon Johnson. They called it the Johnson Amendment. But Trump made it permanent law. And now look at Revelation 13, where it says 15, and if he says, and he had power life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as that would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so as of December 2nd, 2017, all pastors, including every single solitary pastor and preacher of the SDA Church with the 501c3, and they all do it, are now declared, they're not only declared official government agencies, as President Bush said in March 2006 when he announced the executive order of the 501c3, thanks to Trump's pen in 2017, they can now legally lobby for religious law without the IRS slapping their wrist in any way, shape, or form now. Because when the executive order was there, they still had a bow to, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way, or the IRS is going to show its teeth. Now the IRS has no power anymore. It's a law now. And that's why the preachers wouldn't do anything when Bush did what he did. They were waiting for someone to make it law. And so this image has been given its birth and will soon spring into its prophesied hellish life form. And by the way, using the word speak in this prophecy means to legislate law. And using the word cause in this prophecy means to enforce the law. And so that can now be done from pulpit as well as the political bench. And all they await now is to go ahead and their dying God, Satan, when he stands claiming to be Christ. And so at this time, they will have a full-blown political life as prophesied, and those lamb horns will have become demonic in that they will soon represent a church and state ruling power in the exact same way the Vatican has been doing for centuries. And all that the popes did during the Inquisitions will begin once again. You can't with what he did with the Jews and the Christians and anybody that was, brown or black that he had any chance of getting near. And by the way, those that still have issue regarding the Mark of the Beast being Sunday laws, see my Mark of the Beast page where I have a huge in-depth study covering every rebuttal so as to remove all doubt, because I got rebuttals over the years, and now they stopped, but they're all listed on that page with the answers. And as of today's date, I have 29 videos on her talking about them, and I have actual quotes from the media, their mark of authority over all the churches, you know, Sunday Sabbath. And I also share Bible verses that speak of the mark for the student of the Bible so that they can see that every time the mark is mentioned in prophecy, the word worship is right, and rightly so. For as we saw in Esther's day, Daniel's day, and even in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day, Satan has always used the governments in power to make laws that not only go against God's Ten Commandments, he demands the people under the government to bow to him and his idols in open sin against the God of the Bible. That is what he's about to do with the Sunday Sabbath. And so, and you can bow just by agreement. You don't have to bow like they did in Nebuchadnezzar's day in front of that big old statue. You just agree, and that's, you know, in other words, you're obeying, and obeying is a form of worship. A lot of people don't know that. That's why in my Mark of the Beast video, the Act of Worship video, I explain how worship is defined in Scripture. And then I show all these people bowing in front of the Pope and kissing his ring. They used to kiss the foot. Now they kiss, you know, like that statue of St. Peter where the foot is all ground down by human lips. They didn't use grinders, they used lips. So many people kissed that foot. They don't realize that that statue was originally called Jupiter, a pagan god. And then they changed it to Peter, a Christian god, the way they made him. They made him into a god because the Pope calls himself the successor to Peter, and he is got another god on earth, he calls himself. And yes, this is why you see so many false prophets saying the mark of the beast is the number 666 or a tattoo or even a very chip, you know, the implant. Satan knows the mark is a religious law. There's no getting around what's in the Bible. It's there. It says it's a religious law. And so he has to make everyone that refuse to open Bibles or even get out of the apostate churches to think it's anything but a religious law. I mean, Satan knows if you read and study your Bible or attend a remnant church wherein real truth is taught, you will be that much harder for him to deceive because the elect cannot be deceived. You know, some people actually even say, you know, where the Lord says the elect, if it were possible, the elect shall be deceived. They forget the words, if it were possible. They just go, the elect can be deceived. Oh, no. No. Read the whole verse. But people live on out of context theology. All the time. Catholicism. I remember going to Mass when I was a kid, all the way up until the time I left the Catholic Church. They never read anything in context. They would read one verse from one book, one verse from another book, one verse from an epistle, and then build a doctrine right there in front of you. And they did that every time you went to Mass. You never heard anything in context. And that's how they lived it. And that's why it's difficult sometimes to get with the Catholics. And so today we have many false prophets. There are all sorts of edited Bibles, you know, with thousands of verses missing. So as to make sure, you know, Satan can get billions into the flames with him. So anyway, question number 398. Oh, yeah, so I do have four because I actually end with number 400. This one was a comment on one of my videos. And the person was a little upset with me, and I understand why. I'm not going to blame this person because this person thinks I'm attacking their church or something. You know, kind of like when they all got into the face of Jeremiah. And no, I'm not comparing myself to Jeremiah. I'm just doing the same work, just like all of us are. You got to warn the people. But anyway, this is because there was a video I made. It was called SDAs Are Blind to Sunday Laws, I think it was. And I showed we've got thousands of articles on my Sabbath Attack page showing that they're talking about Sunday laws all around the world, and they've been doing it for decades. That is just to plant the seed in the people's minds so that when they start the talking points in the media, that means the loud cry is about to start. Because we're going to shut them up, and then they're going to pass the laws to buy and sell to try to shut us up then. And so that's where we're headed. And that's why Ted Wilson gets up in front of a bunch of people and says, no, there are no, you know, nothing in the pipeline about Sunday laws that he can see. Well, of course not. If you're disobedient, you can't. Well, he knows they're there. He's just going to lie. We know about his dad, and we know how he preaches and where he preaches, and when people call him the Pope, he doesn't say, no, I'm not. You know, we got him on camera saying that. But not. And this is the comment that I got from this this Seventh-day Adventist. I think it was a woman. She says, not all SDA members blindly follow their pastors. Many read the Bible. And I agree with her. Yeah, I ain't got no problem there. And she says, we know the Word of God. I'm a little iffy there. And then she says, but thanks for the warning. It brought to mind the many pastors on AFTV, ADTV, Revelation Now, and 3ANN, which she probably meant 3ABN, Walter Veith, White Horse Media, and others I've heard to say, don't take my word for it. Read the scriptures for yourself. Don't take mere man's word. Read the scriptures for yourself. She just quoted from a bunch, all, everybody she spoke of right there were 501c3. All of them. Every single solitary one of them are disobedient to God. But this is the norm. They don't know that's wrong to do. And she says, I do listen to some of your sermons. Sometimes the volume is too low and a lot of background noise. And that's why I asked the other day, if you guys, can you hear the furnace? Yeah, you can hear the furnace, but she must be using a laptop or a cell phone. But she says, I have a question for you. Are you an ordained minister? In what church? Thank you for your time. And so my response more or less is, yes, dear one, I am biblically ordained with the laying out of hands years ago by men of the True Remnant Church, showed up at my home on Sabbath day out of the blue. I am and have been a pastor in the Seventh-day Remnant Church for years. As for Walter Veith and the others that claim to have left the SDA Church and used the Bible, they are repeatedly exposed as liars, and there's just no easy way to say that. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying, I mean, you know, the word liar is right there in the Bible, right? So, you know, the Bible doesn't say Simbi gets a tummy ache. It says Simbi gets death. I can't gild the lily because my Lord won't do it either. And so, again, there's no easy way to say that. It's going to offend people, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to, but truth is truth. And these men have not left the SDA Church at all. And like the Seventh-day Adventist Church Conference, they too have joined their ministries with the second beast of Revelation to build on the formation of the image of the beast in Rome. And as of December 2nd, 2017, like I just mentioned a moment ago, they're all considered by law official government agents with the newfound ability to literally lobby for religious law. And they can speak political statements from their pulpits now. The fact they literally ignored the prophecies in both the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy to sign the 501c3 contract with the United States government that's going to be killing Christians and is very anti-Christian and pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, all nine yards. This confirms these men are the prophesied wolves we have been warned about. There's no way to say that nicely or gently either. Got to say it for what it is. I mean, you know, for the only way to understand prophecies is to obey the guy that wrote it. And for them to sign a contract that was prophesied 2,000 years ago and one that is considered a very easy-to-spot prophecy by even babes in the prophetic word, this proves that they were never obedient in the first place when they started ministerial work. For if they were, they never, ever would have signed the 501c3 contract. You know, they never would have signed it because you've got to read it. And so hopefully some will repent and leave the apostate SDA Church. But sadly, those that have heard of this long prophesied message as per the remnant people, because I know some, like a woman, for example, shared the younger brother of the guy of 3ABN received my page about the 501c3, and he went to the IRS. He says, I don't want anything to do with it because it scared him. What I have on my page, right? And the IRS said, okay, fine, no problem, but you're going to have to pay us back taxes, excise taxes, penalties, and all this other stuff, and plus you've got to get someone else to take over your 501c3 or something. He goes, all right, never mind, I'll keep it. Because they don't want to give up that money. And it scares me for them, you know? But sadly, those that have heard of the message of the remnant people in regards to this image and all this, they were told that they'd have to pay to get out of it, but you don't. Just stop using the 501c3, rename your ministry, and start from and leave the SDA Church, obviously. And so, but as for staying in the Seventh-day Adventist Church as official members while claiming to read and know the Word of God, again, not easy to say this, but please do not take this the wrong way, dear one, but I cannot ignore my calling so I can offend you. Truth in the whole soil and splashing some water on it. Like your pastor, who has a 501c3, says to legally proclaim the name SDA, you too are in disobedience by staying in the fallen church. Revelation 18 is clear. No, I'm not calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church the Whore of Babylon. I am calling it one of the daughters of the whore, just like Spirit of Prophecy does, but again, those statements have been removed from the edited Ellen White writings. And so that's why a lot of the SDAs don't know what, you know, their own founders knew, because the leaders of today won't let them know what their founders knew. They removed those statements from their writings. So, because if you truly did know and believe the Word of God, you never, ever would even touch the unclean thing, for in so doing places your soul in danger, not to mention those that may follow your lead, or even your own children. That's got to be the scariest part of it all. All right, so question number 399. Jesus Christ says he's not the Christ. I'm not kidding. This is an email I got. So who's lying here? All right, and this is the short email. It could have been a comment on YouTube. I don't remember. Because this is an old one. He said, or she said, it is said in Matthew 16:20 that Jesus then charges his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And he highlighted the Christ, right? Well, we're going to read this. We're going to read this in context. It's Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. Brother Sean will put it in the room here. Someone will put it here in the stream. Right, let me get this disgusting picture off the... Off the Q&A page there. All right, but Jesus did not say what this person is assuming here. He did not say he was not the Christ. It has to be read in context. Notice what he said. So verses 13 to 20, Matthew 16, it says, when Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, so some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me stop there for a moment. Catholic Church says that the gates of hell have prevailed against their own church. They literally say that in the March 2000 mea culpa of Saint John Paul II. That's what they call him now, a saint. That way he can speak from heaven, because in his Dies Domini, he said you must lobby for civil legislation to keep Sunday holy. That's why they quickly made John Paul II a saint, so that he can literally, you know, metaphorically speak from heaven, even though he's not in heaven. You know, he's waiting in the grave just like anybody else to ascend. Well, he's not going to ascend, though. And the word Peter means it's a small, like a pebble. We all know the truth about this, so I'm not going to get into it. But verse 19 and on, it says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall bound in heaven. And I got a page on the website about confession that shows how the Catholic Church took that out of context. And then going on, it says, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then, now here's the problem. This is where the young man or woman has a problem. Then Jesus says, then charge thee his disciples they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Because now, keep in mind, he just got done asking the apostles, who do you think I am? And they literally in unison, I mean, Peter stood up, obviously, and said what he said. But Jesus knew for a fact that the apostles, and the reason Jesus said it this way, he knew for a fact that the apostles were not ready to explain how he was the Messiah in a way that would work well to save souls. And so he told them to be quiet about it. He didn't tell them to lie. He just says, don't tell everyone that I'm the Christ. Right? He told them to be quiet about it, because many Pharisees are chomping at the bit in that day, seeking to twist Bible verses in ways that would burden the apostles as well as harm the babe in Christ by fostering confusion onto them. I mean, as we all know, Peter said he was the Christ in that passage, as plain as day, and Jesus did not rebuke him for it. Peter was well-versed. Hence the reason he was called the lead. But as we see later, he was a bit cowardly when it came to being tested. And that's why I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, get in that Bible daily and get on your knees daily, because it's going to be like it was for the Jews and the Christians and the blacks and anybody else that Hitler didn't like. they're going to get that violent. If you're not going to have the faith to stand firm in Christ, you're going to get the mark. You're not going to be able to handle that kind of pressure. And so Peter was a bit cowardly, and plus Peter didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, obviously, because that doesn't come till later. But so he was tested. But all that changed when he was converted, as Christ said he would be. He says, once you're converted, lead the people, you know, lead the apostles. Or, you know, feed my sheep, is what he said, three times. You know, because Peter denied him three times, right? And so, and that conversion, as we know, brought... Okay, am I... Okay, good. I can hear myself echo. The TPR is back, the stream, I don't know. Well, yeah, we got everybody back on the stream. What about the radio? The radio's coming back. Yeah, next week, if I don't get a new router, I'm just going to put the old router back on and have to deal with its problems. But their problems are different. And because this is so annoying. It's not the first time that I've had to deal with this router, with these people that made this router. So, where did I leave off? All right. Let me just say that we all need to keep in mind that the apostles had not yet received the Holy Spirit. All right, so in regards to Peter, all right. And so they didn't have the ability to explain. Like, if someone came up to him and asked him, like, who the Christ is, you know, who Messiah is, they wouldn't be able to have the necessary means by which to explain it, because they had to wait for Jesus to die, he had to resurrect, he had to ascend back to heaven, and then he had to send the Comforter 40 days later on Pentecost. And so without the Holy Spirit guiding their tongue, oh, and by the way, Brother Joe, send me the recording for the sermon afterwards, because that all got messed up too. So, but thanks, bro. And so to they won't have the Holy Spirit yet to guide them. You know, like the promise said in John 14:26. You know, he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. The apostles weren't blessed yet enough to go and properly explain how they knew Jesus was the Christ. And so to protect them from the Pharisees, who had super intelligent demons moving within them, who knew how to twist Scripture in a way that confuses people that don't study the Bible, Jesus said that what he did to protect them as true shepherds, as the true shepherd he was and still is to his precious flock to this day. And case in point, here's another thing that you can look at too, because this happens to each and every one of us to this day. It happens to me, I don't know how many times over the years. How many of us recall being in a conversation with someone wherein we needed to give them a Bible verse we had used multiple times beforehand with others, but for some reason we can't bring that verse to mind? Well, my own personal opinion on that is the Holy Spirit does not at that time or does that to us at that time to prevent he removes it from our memory or takes it off the tip of our tongue to prevent damaging the soul that we're trying to reach, who will take the verse we're sharing way out of context in their mind to strengthen their stance against the truth. Or could it be that they will be moved by Satan to speak of the verse in a very crafty manner wherein we will be unable to effectively unravel the verse, that the out-of-context theology, further strengthening their stance against the truth, because they look and they see, oh, we can't rebuke them because they twisted it so out of whack. And so again, Jesus told them not to say he was the Christ yet, because they weren't able to explain that truth to every soul they will meet yet. And for those of you that think you have to be a theologian to share your faith, no. When I was a babe in Christ, I only shared what I understood. I only shared what he showed me. It's just like with Legion. The Lord told him, go in the town and tell them what I have done for you. He didn't say, you know, teach theology. He just said, go into the town and, you know, so tell the people what you need to know. And some people will think, well, what if a very crafty, you know, Christian, in all the years I've been doing this, that's never happened. Well, I take that back. It did happen twice, but both times, because I read the Bible daily, both times the Lord gave me verses to shut the person up that was trying to, you know, browbeat me or belittle me. One of them ran out of a Lutheran pastor, after I shared what I did with him, he literally ran out of the wedding reception. He dropped his cigarette on a rug and everything and ran out like he was in fear. And all I did was share some truth to him after he started getting it all up in my face, because he didn't like the way I was helping one of his underlings, if you will, that kept asking me questions, that he eventually left the Lutheran Church. Because this preacher would give him these verses, and then David was his name, he would say, well, this is what my pastor said in rebuke to what you said. And the law says, well, here's three more verses to show he took that one out of context. And then he would show that to the pastor. And it was really annoying the guy because he was getting slammed on every corner. He couldn't, the truth was just too strong. I praise God for it. This is why I love the Bible so much. You can't sit there and blame me. I'm just the messenger here, you know. All right, so the last question. This one's number 400. And again, we've heard this many, many times, but this guy did it in a different way, so I wanted to share it again. I don't know if I have this on the FAQ page or the questions and answers of Sabbath's past page or whatever. He says, Nicholas, I appreciate you taking time out to answer my questions seriously. I do have to say, however, that I agree with so-and-so. It was some person on YouTube, right? Regarding grace over works. It was a Baptist thing. You know, the once saved, always saved thing. That qualifies for heaven. In the book of Galatians, Paul cleared up the issues of the works of works for the Galatians at that time. They were trying to earn their way by their works. That book is dedicated to the topic of grace. Well, my response, and again, this isn't an easy, there's no easy way of saying this, but confusion, or rather confusing works with obedience is not how it works. Obedient Christians do not keep the commandments to get saved. We keep them because we are saved. No man, and even those claiming to be Christian, can keep God's law. WTPR fell out? Just again? Or just now? All right, it's shown, it's in. The audio's... Come on, somebody respond. Is WTPR out or in? Out. Okay, thanks. All right, so let me hit refresh. And another, this is why I'm praying for new software, because the this is outdated software, very old, and we've got to get a new chat room, so please, everybody pray. I'm not asking you to send me a link or anything, like pray so that the Lord shows me where it is. Or if you have a link, send me a link. But again, we don't use public servers, so please don't send me stuff like Mumble or... what was the other ones? Like Pell Talk or something. If you want a virus, go to Pell Talk. That was deadly. So anyway, thanks, Brother Lewis. Thanks, Brother Joe. Let me know. Hopefully we'll stay in again here. But again, this software is really crunchy. So if I have to, we'll just do it like we did that one day. I'll go straight through WTPI. We won't have a chat room. I'll build a little text chat and go straight through. The only problem with that, no one else can use the mic unless you're sitting next to me, because it's only going to come from this house to where the way it'll work like that. So, okay, so do you recall, and I'm getting back to this one person that's, talking about, the ones, they're saved by grace or whatever. I was asking him, do you recall when Jesus said, it is by the fruit you shall know them? See, that's why I gave 1 John 2:14 to his friend, the person on YouTube. And as Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 prophesied long ago, many people today will declare themselves Christians, but they only do so to hide their shame. They know deep down inside that they don't really obey the Lord. Most don't even realize this due to self-deception. But the fact that they do not believe they need to keep his law confirms this. As I stated earlier, no man alive or long gone dead has ever been able to keep the law of God without help from God. It's 100% impossible. And so we all need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, so that when he sends the promised comforter within us, to have him go within us, we see the utterance of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 to 4, confirmed in us in an outward appearance, which says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, like you're a walking Bible, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And just and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Like it's the old English way of talking. But again, we do not demand in this church that people keep God's law on their own to be considered heaven-bound Christian, because they can't do it. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, King, and Savior, so that when he is received by them, that precious soul becomes an epistle to Christ, who, without even trying, as it says in 1 John 5:3, they automatically keep his law and display the fruits he said we all need to look for in each other. And so again, we don't keep the law of God to get saved. We keep it because we are saved. And this doesn't mean when you see someone going to church on Sunday or smoking a cigarette, you come up to them and they claim to be a Christian. You come up and say, you're not a Christian. You don't do that. They don't see things you see is all there is here. They don't know. Like if they don't know it's wrong to smoke, if they don't know it's wrong to go to church on Sunday, the Lord reads their heart. And if they truly don't know it's wrong, he's not going to hold that against them. They're not in sin. But you are if you come up and slamming them for doing those things, if you don't share Christ with love. You know, say, have you ever considered, start walking closely, gently with them. So, but notice this as well. If you read Hebrews about the death of the testator, it may make more sense. And this is what I share. And as a matter of fact, this is more or less the foundation of what I did that video about, where the Vatican calls Jesus insane. And I based it, because I was sharing this, and I happened to look in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 to 20. I says, wow, this could make for a good video. So I did. So actually, this was something I got, who knows when I got this comment. It's just this week is when I decided I was going to share it this Sabbath, and then boom, it became a video. But it says this, Hebrews 9, verses 14 to 20. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth, because he can change it, right? Whereupon, neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. Like the Old Testament, they still had to kill, they had to spill blood to get their sins forgiven, right? Even though it was prophetically acknowledging Messiah to come, it still had to be done. So, and then he says in verse 19 and on, 19 to 20, he says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, this passage proves Jesus never changed the Sabbath, because this was actually the reason he came up with this idea that you can't go to hell because you're going to church on Sunday. So Jesus never changed the Sabbath, for if he did, then he would have done it before he died. For any lawyer from 2,000 years ago to today, it's going to tell you, last will and testament, no, you can't change it after the testator dies. And notice this as well. After Jesus gave the apostles instruction, as prophesied, he offered himself as the Lamb of God, as the sacrifice which taketh away the sin of the world, right? And he did that to seal his instructions as a testament to prophetically speak of what he did when he allowed them to spill his blood, which we know means death. He died. The long prophesied testator died that day for all of us. And he did that directly after preaching his testimony testament, as some call it, for literally 3.5 years. Now, there is a way to change the last will and testament. It is declared by law in every nation on earth that the only way to legally change the last will and testament of anyone is to declare and then prove in a court of law that the person that died was not of sound mind and body. And yes, that is why every last will and testament to this day must be started with a certain statement. And let's use Jesus' name for illustration. His last will and testament, let's say, would say, I, Jesus Christ, am of sound mind and body. And then he goes on from there giving his instructions on what will happen according to his testament after he dies. And so that means, and I pray that the soul hears this for the truth it contains, to say God's people don't have to keep his law because the Sabbath day of the Bible was officially changed by the Roman Catholic Church in its infancy under Constantine on March 7, 321 A.D., means that the Roman Catholic bishop of that day was somehow able to prove Jesus Christ was insane when he preached. They must prove he was not of sound mind or body, for that last will and testament can only have power after the person dies. And we have God's word on it that there is not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says Jesus changed the Sabbath day, nor is there any Bible verses that say he had something wrong going on between his ears. There is, however, one prophecy in Daniel 7:25 wherein, when speaking of the beast in Rome, Daniel the prophet said that the Roman church would think to change times and laws. But the word think here is the key. Most people can't even find. They can read it and see it and understand what the word means, but they don't see what needs to be seen here. And what I mean is, Satan knows he can't change the law. He just knows it. It's just a no-brainer. He knows it. For to do so, he knows he would have to kill God. He would literally have to kill God the Father so as to get him off that throne and remove the mercy seat and then remove the Ten Commandments and then change them, especially commandment number 4, put it back, put the mercy seat back on, and he would have to sit on the throne then, right? But thinking is just that. Satan can make people think a pope as a mere human can change God's law. But Satan never changed it, and the pope never changed it. In fact, that is why commandment number 4 starts with the word remember, because the Lord knew that the end from the beginning. The Lord knew that Satan would use God's law against God's people to make them think he changed it. I mean, think about it. He's a liar. The Vatican's a liar. Everybody in the Vatican are liars. And they have been saying since day one, and they've been admitting and writing since day one that they have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And like the prophecy said, all the world wonders after that beast, and they're all keeping Sunday holy, man, doing Christmas and Easter and everything else that Rome invented. But the Lord knew that Satan would use God's law against God's people, and God's people knew that he would do this too, because we saw what he did in Esther's day. We saw what he did in Daniel's day with the law. And we saw what he did in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's day. And as prophesied, he's going to try to do it again. And I say try. I emphasize the word try, because the elect can't be deceived. But some of us may fall in because of fear. If you don't read your Bible daily, and when this stuff starts hitting it really hard out there, you know, some people are going to fall off the path to Christ in the very last moments of Earth's history. Could you imagine how bad that would be? And then, on top of that, they're going to be destroyed in the seventh plague. So what's worse, getting your head lopped off in a guillotine or having a 125-pound chunk of hail coming at you at terminal velocity out of the sky? You know, you're going to die either way. I picked the guillotine, you know, but still, I picked Christ either way. So, and as prophesied, he's gonna try it. He's gonna try it in our day, and that's why you see all the articles. And pretty soon, there's gonna be talking points in the media. As a matter of fact, there was a congresswoman who literally said that we should make Sunday a law to stop all these problems that are going on in the world. I did a video on her too. She said it on camera in Congress, in a actual law making session. She brought it up like jokingly, if you will. You know, at least that's how they explained it. And so again, we don't keep God's law to get saved. We keep it because we are saved and blessed by the Holy Spirit, who helps us keep it as per the promise made in the new covenant. And there is nary a man alive that could ever possibly prove in any way, shape, or form that Jesus Christ was insane when he preached unto his apostles those 3.5 years, and the people too. Yes, the popes do claim he is neither of sound mind or body, as their crucifix, wherein it keeps on, you know, their crucifix, they display a dead Jesus on a cross so as to paint a twisted mental picture in the minds of billions every time they go to a Catholic mass or step into a Catholic school. Every time you see a dead Jesus everywhere. But if you read the Bible daily and pray as the prophets and the patriarchs of old prayed daily, you know, morning, midday, and evening, you can never be deceived by any pope, prelate, or even a visibly manifested demon, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Thank you. Brother Joe, if you can, you know, just email me the sermon. If you can email everybody, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us as you have on this Sabbath day, giving us what we need to grow in Christ and to go forward and do this work. Thank you for helping me figure out this week how to fix this chat room issue with this router or whatever is going on here. And thank you for blessing everyone, every one of us, with an opportunity to share our faith with others. Because we know eventually we're going to get kicked offline anyway, so it's not that important with the router, but it is important that we learn to share our faith, and so please bless us there too. We again lift up all the prayer requests that were made in the room and everybody that's on our prayer list, and please bless the remainder of this Sabbath day in a very special way. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior for all eternity and our King as well, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.